Hello, this is Susan Smith-Nash, and you're listening to some thoughts on e-learning from elearners.com. Today's topic is success strategies, recognizing the real problem when working in teams. Problem solving in teams is a key element of online coursework. Even if you are not working in a collaborative group, the ability to problem solve in teams is a transferable skill you can take with you to your work. If you are working in online collaborations or in an online group project in your online course, you might find that you have hit a brick wall and can't seem to make any forward progress with your teammates. Often, the problem is that the team never identified the real problem. Instead, they focused on peripheral issues, superficial appearances, co-related problems, or unrelated environmental conditions. Alternatively, they could have been caught up in a case of simple, straightforward denial. They finally identified the elephant in the living room by its smell. It had died and had already begun to rot. So, keep in mind, the problem can't be solved once it has reached the putrefaction stage. It is not necessary to have to wait until you can identify the problem by its smell or the sound of flies buzzing around its carcass. There are a number of very straightforward approaches to identifying the real problem so that you can get on with the task of analyzing it and developing a solution. Symptom, not the source. Many popular problem-solving approaches start with the task of describing the problem. That's good, but only if you're describing more than the symptoms. A better approach would be to describe what you think is the problem and include all the affiliated problems and issues with it. So you could include this process. 1. Write down descriptions of the problem. Brainstorm and list as many as possible. Which descriptions cover the problem itself? Which ones refer to the symptoms? Can the symptoms live on their own? Are they completely a function of the problem? If so, what would that problem be? Then, separate out the descriptions by making a two-column list. On one column, put peripheral issue and not the core. Often what appears to be the core problem is actually on the periphery and not necessarily the real problem. For example, your apartment complex may be plagued with feral cats and dogs. The cats, however, are a peripheral issue. The real problem could be the rapid turnover in student population at a nearby college, which results in cats and dogs being dumped at the edge of town when the students move back home after the school year is over. Thus, the cats and dogs at the apartment complex are just on the periphery of a larger problem. The core issue is the dumping of cats and dogs. Hiding behind a mask? Sometimes the real problem is not a socially acceptable one, and it makes people feel uncomfortable. For example, a corporate executive who is suffering from clinical anxiety and depression may come up with a euphemistic term or cloak self-destructive behavior in a perfectionistic rage for order. Similarly, a person who is bulimic may mask the real problem by saying that she has stomach problems or a stomach upset to explain why she is not eating or why she seems to go to the ladies' room so often. Attributes unknown. Listing the aspects and attributes of the symptoms and the issues can help one actually get at the core issue. It might be necessary, however, to go through a process of discovery. Listing the characteristics of the problem can help separate out the problems and focus in on the primary problem. Analogous to other problem or problems, individuals who have experience with a similar set of circumstances may recognize patterns which help them identify the nature of the problem and to map the characteristics. Because they have experience, it is easier for them to predict likely outcomes. However, experience can also lead to an overdetermination and predictions that turn out to be erroneous or false. Expert or novice? Are the people who are analyzing the problem experts or novices? It is valuable to obtain both perspectives and to compare the two. Both are describing essentially the same thing, but the differences in vantage point and perspective can highlight elements that could be otherwise overlooked. Is it a part of a larger problem? As in the case of peripheral issues muddying the waters and making it difficult to determine what the main problem might be, when a problem is part of a larger problem, it can be very difficult to separate the two. For example, getting frequent flat tires could be a part of a larger problem of road hazards on a stretch of highway. Or alternatively, it could be part of a larger problem of a batch of defective tires manufactured in Malaysia and shipped to auto wholesale outlets in the U.S. The key is to ask questions to determine if there is a larger problem. One cannot solve one without the other. What's the problem's context? Does the environment make a difference? Sometimes there are issues in the environment that either create or exacerbate a problem. Will taking the problem out of the environment or its context change anything? These are issues to consider when analyzing the problem. One good approach is to run scenarios. Finally, you may find that the key to collaboration is civility. What this means in practical terms is maintaining a respectful, open-minded attitude and a polite, civil demeanor. In online communications, it means starting your email correspondence with a positive comment and maintaining a positive, affirming tone. You will undoubtedly feel frustration and annoyance along the way. Do not let your frustration creep into your communication, though. Keep it positive, solution-centered, and outcome-focused. If you receive a surly, disgruntled, uncivil email from a team member, disregard the tone and move toward the solution. Be affirming. Be encouraging. Civility is an attitude and a mindset that will bring about real results. I hope this has been helpful to you. This is Susan Smith Nash, and you're listening to some thoughts on e-learning at elearners.com. Thank you very much.